This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And guys, our favorite part of the show every single week, it's time to hand out some game balls.
We don't break. All right, that was a great job. We got it from everybody. Offense, big drive, defense, making a stop at the end. We're going to make these corrections. We're going to get better. We're going to stay with our process, though. We're going to stay with our process. All right, let's get ready to go. Call it up.
Let's go. Fins on three. One, two, three.
It's time to present today's game balls with Travis, Seth, and OJ.
And after seven straight weeks without a game ball, we're going back to back to back to back to back to back for a sixth straight week for game balls. And we're throwing it to my right here first. Big Seth, who you got?
Well, I'm going to go defense, kind of. I'm going with the big fella, Christian Wilkins. He was on one today. Seven tackles, had a tackle for loss, and had a pass defensed. You know, he was all over the field. And yeah, they ran the ball a little bit, but he made sure they didn't do anything that was going to really harm this team. But Juice, let's talk about in the fourth quarter, first down. He reports in as eligible. Everybody in the stadium had to know, as we've seen when he's mic'd up, he makes sure the ref knows whether the ref's a mile away from him or right next to him. He's going to scream at him. He's going to let him know he's eligible. But did they cover him? No. He catches the little pass there. You said he bobbled it, tried to make it look hard. I think he added to the drama. I think he likes a little bit of drama. He had that thing. He's got soft hands. Bobbled it around a little bit so we could all hold our collective breath. Scores the touchdown, and then the show begins, fellas. So first he goes, we're going the Hard Rock Hop. Hard Rock Hop, but he doesn't just hop into the stands. He falls into the stands. Whoa. They got to pull him out. I was like, I don't know if they're going to get him out of there. Hops into the stands. Do you think that's enough? It's not enough. Breaks out into the worm. Looks like the drunk dad at a wedding. He's doing the worm in the end zone. The guys are standing around. Nobody knows what to do with himself. But wait, he's not done. Goes full B-boy, and he's doing a friggin' windmill in the end zone. I've never seen anything like it. So somehow gets three interceptions and one touchdown, and God bless him, Kristen. He deserved it. He gets a game ball from me.
I'm really glad you mentioned the almost bobbling in the corner of the end zone, because remember last time, his rookie year against the Bengals, he caught a touchdown. He caught the ball. He fumbled it. He picked it back up and scored. And I asked him one time, were you just trying to pad your stats like a basketball player, get the offensive rebound, put it off the backboard, get it back together? So he did it again. But this
I think
time,
he likes the drama.
There you go. Touchdown.
Yo, and there was a flag on that play, too. And I was hoping it wasn't against South. I hope he reported, because I know 65 reported.
Oh, you know he reported.
Ref! All right, I'm going to my favorite side of football, obviously, and I'm going to go, it was the Duke.
It's not a receiver.
Duke Johnson, man. Welcome, Duke Johnson right there. 22 carries, 107 yards. big runs in at the end right there. And another big catch for 20 yards as well, man. And Duke was just, he was just unstoppable at some time today, you know, especially in the second half when he got rolling. Getting north and south, giving big stiff arms, you know, just making it tough on those guys. And you know how good backs are, Seth and Travis. Whenever they get rolling, you know, a lot of times that secondary don't want to deal with them. And Duke made it hard for them to deal with today, man. So it was fun to see him and hear the crowd. You know, I was sitting next to Lamar Thomas's son today, and, you know, we haven't really seen Duke go off, you know, for the Miami Dolphins. And they kept saying, Duke. And he looked at me and said, why are they booing him? I said, they're not booing him. They're saying, Duke. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was getting louder and louder because he was getting better and better as the game went on, man. But my game ball for sure goes from the guy from the U, Duke Johnson.
So following suit here, actually I didn't follow suit because Juice didn't go with the receiver. You know, Isaiah Ford had a few catches. Yeah. Devontae Parker had a big catch
sure
in this
did.
Game. I'm going to follow suit and do what I always do and give the game balls to multiple people. The entire pass rush gets a game ball for me. 6 sacks, and I think we talked about this earlier. If not for that Jets game plan, and great on Mike LaFleur, their play caller, for his game plan to get into that bag and really keep the Dolphins pass rushers at bay. But once they had to go to a more traditional drop back pass game, it was over. 6 sacks for this Dolphins defense. I'm going to list it off for you right here. Ogbah had 2 tackles, a sack, a fumble recovery, and another pass breakup. He has the most among defensive linemen this year. Van Ginkle, 5 tackles, pressures all game long. Christian Wilkins had 7 tackles for you, Seth, in a pass defense. Zach Sealer, 3 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble. Jalen Phillips had 2 tackles and pressures for days. He had that one where he got this initial hit on Zach Wilson. Baker and Ogbah clean it up. And then Jerome Baker, baby, he's back in a big way this season. Eight. 2 more sacks for him today. So the pass rush gets my game ball, guys. So I guess I got to get, what, 5 or 6 or 7 of them there from Coach today?
Yeah, good luck with that. Well, you got to go talk to Joey Cimino.
Joey and Charlie, they got you back on that one.
Well, those are your game balls. We go with Duke Johnson. How can you not? I mean, Juice, you talked about it there. 22 carries, 107 yards, plus 20 more through the air, a pair of touchdowns. And I keep going back to this. The fact that he wasn't going to score on either of those plays,
right.
And he just had the effort to push it across the goal, and that was the most impressive part to
me. Yeah, the finish, man. I mean, you talk about finishing, you know, and that's what he did, man. He runs under his pads, you know, getting low. And, you know, and finishing at that point of contact and finding a way to get in the end zone, man, a couple scores like that, man. I mean, what else can we say? We were worried so much about the running back position, and Duke came in and quelled all that today with the game he had.
Yes, he did, in a big way. And just to kind of continue the thought here of who else, you know, played solid games in this one, we mentioned Isaiah Ford. That 27-yard reception I think he had in the second quarter from 2 was a big one to extend that drive on a 3rd and long play there. We talk about Devontae Parker. Seth mentioned the big completion he had there in that first quarter, maybe late, early second quarter, to get the Dolphins offense going there a little bit. So Dolphins, once again, Juice, I mean, this is kind of the theme of this team, is they find ways to get multiple guys involved and find ways to just make the entire 53 responsible for the victory.
Yeah, you have to, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. You have to find a way. Everybody gets in there. You might get 1 or 2 opportunities, and you better take advantage of it. Talk about Isaiah Ford. What did he take advantage of his opportunities? 3 targets, 3 catches,
yep,
including the big one. You know, you just talked about on 3rd and long. I mean, those guys, man, one guy goes down, other guy's been able to step up, man. And we that's what you have to have. And that goes back to guys like Chris Greer, building the roster, the coaching staff, getting guys ready to play. Coach Flores, obviously, putting them up there, man. Yeah, it's been next man up. And, you know, I mean, we're enjoying the hell out of this run that we're on right now, this 6-game win streak. And it's been a lot of different guys getting it done for us, and today was an example of that as well.
Now we have a little bit of a longer week and an extra day of rest before next Monday night in New Orleans. We'll talk about that here later, though. But, Seth, you were kind of talking about early in this game how the stats really kind of matched up for both sides throughout the course of that first half. But the Dolphins pulled away late, 23 first downs to 16. Miami converted 2 more 3rd downs, also had 2 4th down conversions. Did you know that they wound up with 379 yards more than New York's 228? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. But the second half, I mean, it really was. Juice got all Shakespearean early and talked about the Tale of Two Cities here. The second half, it was a different game. And if you can't take away. But obviously you had the pick six. But other than the pick six, the Dolphins really just dominated the second half, and I think that shows up in the stats there.
Absolutely it did. And we talked about the time of possession. Miami gets 34 minutes, 22 seconds time of possession. Didn't win the penalty battle today, 5 for 45 for Miami. What do you think about that, Juice? I thought this is a team that's played pretty disciplined all year long. Yeah. I think a couple of those holding calls really that was basically the difference in some of those second half drives was a couple of Hunter long holding calls.
Yeah, yep, they were. They were. And the Van Ginkle, when he roughed the passer, roughed Zach, that was a good call, I thought. It was close, but he's about a half a step late. You know, so the penalties, honestly, they didn't hurt us like sometimes they can. But, you know, I thought the holding penalties, though, we seem to see that every game, though, Trav. Yep. You know, we can't escape that part of the game. You know, our DBs, I don't know. Did anybody throw an X today? Did Byron have any? I mean, what happened with our secondary today with their guys, you know, other than, you know, trying some tricks and reverses and things like that? You know, our guys were gluing guys.
They
were. When you get some, you know, defensive pass interference or, you know, or illegal contacts, whatever, because we're so aggressive. None of that today. Most of it happened on the offensive side.
Byron Jones had two passes defense. I actually tweeted about how I hadn't heard Xavier Howard's name until or except for the first quarter. That touchdown run, he was there for a tackle, didn't make
didn't
it.
Make
that was
it,
the only
right.
time we talked
didn't
about it.
Didn't make it there, right, but I can't get mad at X.
Exactly, because then
he's got way too much equity built up. But, yeah, I would have liked to see him wrap up there and hold them to three. But I'm going to give X a pass on that.
Of course. Certain guys get passes.
I don't think they threw to him again until the third quarter, if at all. And that was kind of a matchup I talked about on the podcast this week, was those two guys on the outside have to get it done, and they definitely did. Byron Jones, you know, two passes defense, X. They barely ever came after him all game long. So those guys, you can count on those guys. You can set your watch to those two guys. You know who they're going to be every single week.
Yeah, so why we saw a lot of, what's the word, Juice? Rookiness?
Rookiness.
We did see a lot of rookiness today, he was wise enough not to throw to Xavier Howard.
Right.
Smart man, Zach Wilson's for that decision. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen of Coconut Creek or online at GuntherVolkswagen.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 31, Jets 24. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. And Dolphins win this one 31-24.
You know, Charles, one thing I wanted to talk about was the opportunity. Talk about the sacks. What I saw offensively, though, is there was a sack, but it was for 0 yards. So how does that work for one on Tua? You know, so that shouldn't be a sack, right?
No, there's that's a sack. I mean,
for 0 yards?
Absolutely.
Okay.
0 yards is a sack.
Okay, JT's probably had a few of them.
He had a few
of
them.
So that's why we know
right.
about this. That's 100%. Why we know about this. And then, but
I
other than that,
consider myself a bit of an expert.
Other than that, 0 tackles for loss, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. That was impressive for me, considering we had six sacks and 7 tackles for loss against them. So I think the offensive line, we haven't talked a lot about, which is a good thing.
I was saying, they're probably okay with that.
Great thing. We talked about a couple of hold penalties. But other than that, though, man, being able to get 184 yards on the ground, protect the tool for the most part. You know, he was sacked one time for 0 yards, as Seth just told me that it's definitely a sack.
That is a sack.
That's definitely a sack. But at the same time, they'll open up holes and giving guys lanes to run. So we always kill the offensive line. So I think it's today we have to give them a little credit for doing a heck of a job. Long, sustained drives, which you always worry about, something bad happening along the way, and going from there, man. So big ups to the offensive line as well, man, because we don't pat them on the back enough at times.
It's hard to on this show because I like to get a good look at the tape before I really dissect what happens up front, because it's hard to really keep a track of all five guys up front. But no, to your point, they definitely got some push in this game and moved guys off the football for Duke to create some of those plays and got out in space too. And that's something this team does really off the edge, I think, really well too, is they block out wide, especially when you have, you know, Parker and Preston and some of the tight ends out there, these bigger guys that can get their hands on guys. And, you know, Juice, that's always been to me one of those things that it's all about will, right, when it comes to receiver blocking downfield. You took a lot of pride in that.
It's a will and a want. A want and a will. You got to want to do it, and you got to be willing to do it. And that's Coach Ford always told us that. You know, and you got to be willing to get your nose bloody, you know. And I saw Albert Wilson, you know, when he comes in motion – on that motion right off the end or right off the tackle, you know, he's sometimes in lead block situations or cutting the end man off a line of scrimmage. So, you know, they know the guys that are willing to do it. They know the guys that want to do it, and they know the guys that don't. And they don't put them in a position.
Probably easy to figure who those guys are, right?
Oh, it's real easy. It's real easy. But bottom line, as coaches, you put guys in the best position to be successful, which makes our team successful. So putting Burton there, you know, blocking, you know, like I was saying, on the long run, I want to say by Gaskins, I saw Burt leading the run 20, 25 yards down the field blocking somebody, you know. So that's important, man. And you have to really want to and be willing to do it.
You know, it's interesting you say that. He has found a way to contribute.
Yeah.
Right? And when Albert Wilson signed here initially and we saw explosive plays out of him, and I know that seems like eons ago, a whole different coaching regime. And you know, I just picture him and Jakeem Grant high-fiving and running down the field. And he was the most explosive player in the field game after game after game. Had the injury, you know, did not play during COVID. Had that great camp here, and then he kind of disappeared. But he has found a way not only to have playing time, but he is contributing. And that's a great example, Drew. He's blocking downfield. He did get open. He could have had a 67-yard touchdown today if he had a better ball thrown to him. But somehow, some way, there was the tipped pass that you're worried it's going to be yet another interception.
Right.
And who, right, go to the ball. You talked to us about
that.
He was there, go to the ball, gets positive yardage there. So I give a lot of credit to a guy who isn't maybe he's not the focal point of the offense like he'd like to be. Sees them draft a guy who in a lot of ways is similar to him, or you would think is similar to him, who's making all the plays. But he keeps his nose he's moving forward. He keeps his nose moving forward towards the football. Brutally.
To the grindstone.
Nose to the grindstone. That's what it is. I'm losing all
you.
What I'm trying to say. The point that I'm making is Albert Wilson's finding ways to contribute to his football team, even if he isn't the centerpiece.
We're talking about that.
God, that was tough. Yeah. It shouldn't have been that tough, Steph.
Well, we talked about Raekwon on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Raekwon being that quiet contributor. Same thing with Burt, man. But, you know, and he's just a total team player. And that's what you got. I love about guys like that.
Yeah, that's what
I
was saying.
Total team player out there, you know, doing the little things, doing a lot of little things to make the team successful, man. So I get what you're saying, Big Seth. He's got his
I'm
nose
glad you do,
to
because
the
I don't know that anybody else understood what I was trying to say.
Good job by Albert, man. And, you know, and he's just as big a major part of this win as anybody else doing the little things. Like you talk about that tip pass, I mean, that usually falls into the wrong hands, you know, but going to the ball is always
for sure it would.
Lead block down the field on a long run. Getting open, not getting the ball, but getting open. You know, Burt's that guy, man. He'll get his opportunities. You know, it might not show up in the stat sheet like we talk about other guys, but, man, I bet they appreciate him in that locker room.
How about Isaiah Ford to that point? I mean, here's a guy that, you know, here's a guy who in his rookie season he goes on IR with a torn ACL. He winds up on the practice squad the following year. The next year he's on practice squad, gets some call-ups, goes back down, winds up getting traded to the Patriots for a seventh-round draft pick, gets cut, winds up back here, back on the practice squad, gets activated to the active roster. Last week he had a basically game-clinching touchdown against the Giants. 2 weeks ago, Seth, to that point again. And then today, 3 for 51, and it was a big 3rd-and-6 conversion for 27 yards. It was a 14 or so yard gain on 2nd and 15 to put them in 3rd and short, and then a 3rd and 5 conversion where he gets 5 yards on a speed out route. So he was a big time contributor in this game, and he's one of the nicest guys too. So I love seeing that. I love seeing him have a chance to get into the fold and make plays for a team that he's been around for a long time, just hasn't quite had the ability to kind of crack into the lineup and get things going that way. But here he is finding himself in a big role during a 6-game winning streak from the Miami Dolphins, and he's played a big part in those victories. We're going to come back and hopefully get some sound from Coach Flores and Tua Tagovailoa. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen Delray Beach or online at GuntherVolkswagenDelray.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 31, Jets 24. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Your game day menu, the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker, cheesy chicken enchilada bean dip, air fryer beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit oldelpaso.com for these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso Taco together. We have quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who spoke to the media after the game. Brian Flores, check that.
Hey Flo, I just wanted to ask you about Duke Johnson and the performance that he had to be able to do that on, you know, in front of his hometown, on the field that he played college football on, and the Duke chance, just that kind of performance. How cool was that for you to see?
He played well. You know, definitely gave us a spark, ran it well, ran hard, and picked up first down, picked up tough yardage, and, you know, in a lot of instances where they knew we were running. I thought the O-line blocked it up well. So George called a good game for us, and we were able to execute, and I thought he definitely gave us a spark.
David? Hey, Flo. One housekeeping question first. Tavon Holland, he was activated off COVID-19. Did it come down to him just not practicing all week to decide not to play?
We activated him on a chance that we might be able to get him back from off the COVID list. We weren't able to do that, so that's why he wasn't active today.
Okay, and what do you think of where this team stands now? 6-game win streak, back at 500, with playoff hopes alive and 3 key games remaining.
I think we're just trying to take it one day at a time, get better. That's the approach we've taken really the entire season. These guys, they play hard for one another. They work hard. There's a lot of, they support one another. It's a great group to coach, and we're just gonna take it one day at a time and just try to improve, get better. But they compete, they fight. I was proud of the effort they gave today. The Jets played us. They played us well. Just the game we thought it was gonna be, 60-minute battle against a division opponent. They were ready. They threw the kitchen sink at us. A lot of it was, well designed and. A lot of instances there, I do just got to tip your cap. And they executed and did a lot of good things. But they play well.
Mark Stoller.
Coach, congratulations on the win again. This is a 6-game win streak for you all, longest win streak for you during your tenure as coach. What is it going to take to keep this team focused on a Monday night matchup against the New Orleans Saints next week?
Well, we're going to enjoy this win tonight. It was a tough one today, but our approach is the same. Let's take it one day at a time. Let's prepare the right way. Let's, go through our process, our weekly process. There's a lot of changes that are happening right now. Going to Zoom like we're doing here. Obviously, we're doing that in the best interest of our team, but also everyone, you guys as well. I'm just going to try to take that one at a time approach.
Four.
Obviously, there's been a commitment to the run game since you guys started winning and probably previously before that. But how beneficial is it to the offense and the RPO when that run game is effective and successful?
I think it helps really every facet of the offensive football. That balance, that ability to churn out yards on the ground opens up the RPOs, opens up the play actions, and where's the opponent down? Our guys, they played hard. Obviously, the run game is something that we've placed an emphasis on. We had some success with it today.
And if I can get you to assess Tua's performance, I know he had the pick six and the early interception. Overall, how did you see him play?
I think as a team we were rusty in a lot of areas. Some penalties, some missed tackles. So we're not going to put it on Tua. Obviously, he has some plays he wants back, but he battled back. It took us right back down the field after the turnover and punched it in. At the end, give us the winning score, the winning point. So we'll make the corrections. So it's good to make those mistakes and then win a ball game as well. But he'll work hard to learn from.
Johnny.
Coach, during this win streak, you guys hadn't been down more than 3 points. Was there any angst being down 10-0 where you could almost say, hey, today's not our day? How are you able to sort of rally through the rough start?
I think it's something that our players are just a 60-minute ball game. We just keep playing. We try to string good plays together. We got off to a bad start, a tough start. We're down quick. No panic offensively, defensively, or in the kicking game. We know that's a long game. If we play for 60 minutes and string plays together and do it in a complimentary way, that we'll be able to battle back. I think offensively, our guys moved the ball efficiently, effectively, brought us back into the game, and then we started to play the complimentary game, especially in the second half.
Kyle?
Ryan, 17 points allowed in the first half, and then he came back in the second half and did a good job stopping your offense. I believe he had 5 sacks in that second half. what changed from one half to the other? And was any of the first half performance attributable to rust from the bye?
Yeah, I mean, look, give them a lot of credit. I mean, I thought they had a very good game plan. I thought there were those, we'll call them, you know, exotic type plays, throwbacks, first passes. And you know, we missed some tackles, and you know, they made some plays. So we'll give them a lot of credit. We definitely you know, needed to play better. I think the guys kind of turned it on in the second half, especially from a pass rush standpoint. But that really started by our ability to get some stops and on early downs in the second half, which we weren't getting in the first half. So I think, you know, our guys made the adjustments. You know, credit Josh, our defensive staff, you know, making those adjustments at halftime. We did a couple things differently. And I thought, you know, from a pass rush standpoint, we did some good things, but, you know, we missed a number of sacks as well.
Daniel?
Hey, Brian, in a sense, I remember on Friday you were talking about how the team would have to compartmentalize. Do you think that you know, this game was kind of a microcosm the entire week? You know, you have guys in on the COVID list, you have to make changes midweek, kind of in this game where you have ups and downs, just kind of a storm. Do you think that this game was kind of emblematic of the entire week?
Nah, not really. I mean, look, we expected a tough physical game against a division opponent. We expected their best shot. And you got to give them credit. I mean, they made a lot of plays. They play hard for Coach Salah. They really do. And that team competes. I think the quarterback made a lot of plays. They got guys out. We got guys out. They competed. We expected that. So, you know, I think we got to give them credit.
Last question, Cunha.
So how hard are those kind of exotic or trick plays you're talking about? Or how hard is it to game plan or prepare for those?
You know, if you've never seen them, you really can't prepare for them. That really boils down to, you know, reading your keys, being in your right spot. If you're a pass player, if you're a pass rusher, if you're a run defender, if you're an edge player. If you're a contained player, which means if the ball runs away from you, you got to stay back and kind of stay home. But it's hard to do that when you're trying to play hard, play aggressively, and get everybody to get to the ball. So that was a little bit of what happened there. That plus some missed tackles. And again, you got to give them credit. They did a nice job from that standpoint. Our guys battled back, and it's good to get a win.
So we only have a couple minutes here, so I want to go ahead and just throw it right away to Seth. What's your takeaways there, man?
Well, I think that's about as positive and upbeat as you're going to get from a Brian Flores. And look, there were a lot of things to clean up. He talked about it, but I think he also understands the value of overcoming everything they overcame this week with the timely but untimely bye week. Guys are on COVID. They're off the COVID list, all of those things. And as he said, it is a tough physical opponent for them, regardless of record. And he clearly has a lot of respect for the coaching staff over there and for the players that are playing on that team. So obviously this sixth win meant a lot. It keeps the season alive. None of that is lost on Coach Flores. And I think you heard that not only in his energy, he talked glowingly about Duke, as of course you'd expect him to, but he also has a tendency typically when guys have great games is he likes to level the field there. And he doesn't want anybody to get too high or
he's
too
a veteran.
Low. He really is. He talked glowingly about the running game, talked about how the running game can wear down an opponent. You don't normally hear that from Coach Flores. I think the writers were probably licking their chops getting stuff from Coach Flores that they don't normally get. So, you know, really open, and I just think that that's a head coach that feels really good about getting a W there when things could have gone the other way. They put up 31 points. They've won six in a row, and he's ready to focus on the next game.
Yeah, and I think one of the points that he made that we talked about earlier, man, was like, you know, when the Jets come out there with some of these exotic plays, man, they tried to take advantage of our aggressiveness as a defense. So, like you said, it's hard to stay home and it's hard to stay back, you know, when everybody's trying to get to the football. And so I think that's that adjustment alone, you know, from our guys, you know, staying in position, staying back, staying home, because it's we never know if the ball's going to come back your way, a reverse is going to come back your way or whatnot. And I think that was the difference. Getting home on early downs, you know, stops on early downs was huge, he talked about, which it was, putting them in tough down and distance situations, letting us, you know, pin our ears back and bring pressure like we like to, our guys we talked about covering. But I'm with you guys, man. Coach Flo, he should be feeling good right now, no matter what. You know, you beat the Jets. You won six in a row. One of the reporters said it's his longest win streak as a head coach here, which is awesome stuff, man. Considering coming off of seven straight losses to six straight wins, this guy he's rock solid, man. But the biggest thing I love about it, talk about the players playing hard for each other, mm-hmm. working hard for each other, competing and fighting for each other. You know, not for him, but for each other. And that's what it's all about in that locker room.
Yeah, that's a great point. We saw, again, on the Tua rushing play, we saw, you know, Rob Hunt was fired up, and so was Durham Spieth next to him there. Three things I thought were very fascinating. We'll go ahead and get to the next one here. The fact that he said trick plays are hard to prepare for. You have to just kind of read your keys. I thought it was interesting, and that's obviously a lot to deal with when a team unloads everything they have at you. Miami handled it and responded and came back well. He also mentioned the changes this week were kind of tough. They had to go through some of those COVID up and downs, the Zoom meetings, and you can't meet the same way you used to. That's obviously difficult to overcome. And then also talking about how the team was rusty in some areas, that's also pretty transparent there from Coach. Missed tackles, penalties. He talked about Tua battling back and going down the field to get points on that final drive there. So good stuff there from Coach, as always. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen Fort Lauderdale or online at GuntherVolkswagen.com. Net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, 31-24. Miami takes their sixth straight. You listen to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more, only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Let's go ahead and throw it now to the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, who met with the media.
Before we start, just want to, you know, express, you know, that my heart goes out to Elijah, you know, the player that got hurt, Elijah Riley. You know, it's tough playing in this league, and, you know, I would say I care more about, you know, the guys, who they are as people out there on the field, whereas they, you know, are as football players. But just wanted to say that before we get started.
Start with questions from David. Hey, Tua, thank you for that. That was a thoughtful statement. First, so what was working on the ground game for you guys? So, would you feel that you guys were able to find against the Jets and Duke Johnson a heavily effective CN?
I think the O line did a great job today up front, you know, with creating, you know, those opportunities for Duke to find the hole and, you know, and hit it and, you know, find ways to bounce the ball and, you know, have Duke be himself running the ball. That's how he was his entire career playing in the NFL. And, you know, I'm glad that we were able to witness that today.
Al? Tua, I wanted to ask you your satisfaction of the disappointment of throwing the pick six, and yet you were able to help the team come back right away and get the winning touchdown to Devontae. Can you describe that kind of ride of emotions you went through?
Yeah, I mean, terrible, terrible decision on my part, obviously, with the pick six, but we got to move on. The game's not over. We got to go down and we got to put some points on the board, and that's what we did. So, you know, you never want that to happen, but, you know, it does happen, and so just got to move on from it, and I'm glad we were able to overcome it, you know, not just offensively, but as a team. You know, it started the first half, and it really trickled all the way into the second half.
Thanks.
Cunha?
So it looks like you channeled your inner Duke Johnson on one play and run up the middle. Can you walk us through that play where you ran over a defender?
Yeah, just remind me not to ever do that again. You know, much respect to number 30, Carter. He's a hell of a player. You know, I obviously don't think that he was expecting me to lower my shoulder and try to run him over. You know, just from the previous runs I had, I either slid or, you know, try to get out of bounds. But yeah, I mean, it was just a in the moment thing for me, and it's really all it was.
Daniel?
Fitor, with Jalen being out, what changes, if any, you guys have to make to the offense? Obviously, you guys kind of struggled on the
I couldn't really hear your question, but I heard Jalen. Even if Jalen's out, I think the approach that we all took with him being out is next man up, and we got to continue to prepare. Jalen doesn't win us the games. He obviously is a help with us to win games, but. I think all the guys that were out there, they put in a lot of hard work, and I think they did a great job, with primary blocking, whether it's in the run game or, responsibilities in a pass game. I think they all did a great job.
I'm not sure if you can hear me a little better now, but what was clicking later on that maybe wasn't working in the first couple of drives?
Yeah, I think it was just adjustments in the second half for us. We just started to look at our matchups more. And then obviously with their coverages, they mixed in some man coverages on second and long. So, we were kind of prepared for that if that ever occurred. But more often than not, they played quarters. Sometimes they'd play six. And really, we just try to run the ball and block primary and have their secondary guys make tackles.
John? Hey, Tua, with the team having climbed from a 1-7 start to now a 7-7 record, what do you think are some of the biggest factors that have enabled that dramatic change to occur?
I'm just being around the guys, I really think it's just the communication, just guys being in the building when, we have off days. Guys wanting to work, stay back extra. I think all those play factors into our success on the field. So,
how effective can this RPO offense be when that run game is working? And do you feel like this is something that you guys can build off?
Yeah, I definitely think it's very effective, and I think it. It's something that we can build off. It has been something we've been trying to build off, from the Ravens game to the time we played the Jets the first time and so on. So I do think that this is something that we can build off on, but, I think there's also areas within our RPO game that we can get better with, more so with me in the decision-making.
I have two more, Donovan and then Ruthie.
Hey, Tua, what's going on, bro? So Christian Wilkins probably did everything imaginable after his touchdown. I mean, jumped into the stands, hit the worm, even did some breakdancing. Just talk about, getting that guy more into the end zone more often so we could see more of that stuff, because that was a lot of fun for fans and you guys as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm not the offense coordinator, and that I don't have a say in it, but I think now that we put that on tape, guys are gonna, start to kind of game plan that maybe. I don't know. I think it's tough to run a lineman out again after him scoring once. So maybe next time we punch the ball in, or we'll game plan a gadget. But I think that was awesome. That was cool to see him score. I think that was the first time I threw a defensive lineman or a lineman a touchdown in my career.
Can you talk about his celebration?
Yeah, I only seen when he was trying to do the spin a Rooney on the ground. After that, I just turned around and went back to the sideline.
All right, last question, Ruthie.
So I was going to ask you about Christian, but instead I'll ask you about just Duke Johnson specifically, to have that performance, in front of his hometown on the, field that he played college football on. Just how cool is that as his teammate to see that kind of performance?
I mean, it's very cool. Me and Duke actually live in the same estate, which is even cooler. And I didn't even know that until he brought it up for Thanksgiving. but yeah, I think it's super cool, especially with the crowd. I think I heard the crowd saying Duke, with a loud Duke. So I thought that was pretty cool. And You know, I know he enjoyed it, but, you know, just knowing the person that he is, he's very, you know, grateful for the guys out there as far as the linemen and whatnot. So I'm happy for him.
Spin-a-Rooney indeed. So there you have quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins fans, you have begun your out-of-town scoreboard watching. We'll get you, go ahead and get you caught up on that around the league scores. But first, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
So there you heard Tua. We also have Week 15 scores coming your way. Go ahead and throw the music up. Let's go ahead and get around the NFL scoreboard and talk about what the Dolphins need to have help them for a playoff push here in Week number 15. On Thursday night, it was the Chiefs taking down the Chargers in an absolute thriller in overtime, 34-28. The Colts took care of the Patriots last night, 27-17 in primetime. The Bills, staying in the AFC East, beat the Panthers 31-14. And how about the Fighting Dan Campbells? The Detroit Lions take down the Cardinals 30-12. The Cowboys win over the New York Giants 21-6. And the Steelers get a win that's important for Miami, knocking off the Titans 19-13. The Texans take out the Jaguars for their third win of the season. They move to they win 30-16 to move to 3-11. Current games right now going on. We have the Bengals went in for a field goal just now to go up 9-3 on the Broncos. The Falcons are trailing the 49ers 24-13. That one's middle of the third quarter. And the Packers and Ravens are knotted up. Tyler Huntley playing well for the Ravens, 14-all. Beginning of the third quarter there. We have the game tonight, the Saints at the Buccaneers, and then some more action for you coming on Monday and Tuesday with some delays. The Browns are hosting the Raiders on Monday night. So are the Bears hosting the Vikings on the actual Monday Night Football there on ESPN. And then Tuesday, a pair of games that kick off at 7 Eastern. Seahawks are at the Rams, and the Washington football team is at the Philadelphia Eagles. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen of Coconut Creek or online at GuntherVolkswagen.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 31, Jets 24. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. From the electricity in the stadium to the highlight reel plays, there's nothing quite like Dolphins football. And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on, as the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster, has you covered with the largest selection of seats for any budget. Get off the couch and into the stands. Grab your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And guys, we're waiting on a potential call-in guest here. Maybe we'll see what happens, but I want to go ahead and kick it off by what's going on in the podcast network this week. Seth, who do you guys got coming in the fish tank?
Almost drew a blank. We got Jed the Dream Weaver.
Dream.
Yeah, Jed came on, and we had a great time with Jed. Some great stories. You know, we talked about Juice not being an A-lister,
right,
going to charitable events, but he still thinks he can go in and do big things and support causes and make guys, you know, make kids feel good about themselves and those things. And we said, hey, Jed, I don't want an A-lister that's going to come in there and not talk to a sponsor the whole time. I'd rather have a guy that people are going to have a good time with. And I think it was the same way in the fish tank.
Yeah.
You know, so he may not consider himself an A-lister, but he brought A-level guests. Yeah, that's for sure.
So much fun with that one, man. And, you know, all the controversy with the New England guys back in the day with Jed, he was great. Heck of a football player, man. One of those guys we talked about. We talked a lot about guys that, like, kind of unsung, you know, on the Dolphins today. Jed was one of those guys that – made some big plays. We talked a little bit about, you know, the playoff win that we had. I think it was that last playoff win we had, Big Seth?
Yep.
It was.
Dream.
He came on draft time and talked about that. That was a 12-year-old Travis remembers that play very well. Very, very well.
Yeah, so that was, it was fun, man. And then he reminded me of a couple of plays I made in that game, which I couldn't remember because, you know.
A big third down conversion on that drive.
Too many hits.
Had two big plays in a row, and then they missed them on second down, and Dream ends up getting the third down catch for the touchdown.
Yeah.
First touchdown of his career.
Now he remembers.
And Juice tried to steal the game ball from him right there in the interview.
What did you wind up with as far as catches in that game?
I don't know, about three, maybe four.
I think four or five.
You know, they're all conversions, I'm sure, though, Travis. You know, I had a chance to spin the rock. That's all I care about, spinning the rock.
Well, you know, again, Juice, that, I mean, losing my absolute mind in my living room watching that game on one of those old school TVs that weighs about 5,000 pounds back in the year 2000. So that was a lot of fun. Jed the Dream Weaver on the podcast on Fish Tank. We're going to have a pretty normal schedule for you guys on Drive Time this week. The film review coming up on Tuesday. I'm going to go over to the studio after this. Check that. I'm going to go over to my house. I can't go to the studio right now and record the podcast here for the recap.
Right, yeah, so what's going on now? The new protocol now?
Back in my cave, back in my basement. I'm not thrilled about it because you know, mental health is important to me, and being stuck in your house is definitely not good for that. But I'll find a way to get out and run around and do some stuff. But I really enjoy being around people, and especially people in that building, because it's a great place to work. So we'll have to adapt, like Coach Flores says. We'll adapt, we'll adjust, and we'll figure it out and get the corrections made and give you a podcast tonight. So that's what's coming up on the podcast network. Guys, we have the Saints next week on Monday Night
One game
football.
Season, fellas.
Yeah,
it's a one game season.
Yeah, it's a big one. I mean, obviously, everyone has been big, you know, and everyone gets bigger. Now, you know what I mean? So the Saints, it's kind of like, you know, getting that extra day of rest too, Big Trav. You know what I mean? I like that. I like that. Only thing I don't like, you know, I love Monday nights because I know the whole world's watching. Sunday nights, everybody start liking. But think about it, half the teams are traveling, you know. But anyhow, you know, it's like Monday night, I hate waiting all day to play. That was my biggest problem.
We got a special guest calling into the show right now. Go ahead and welcome in Jason Taylor, Hall of Fame, all-time legend, Miami Dolphin. JT, you there, man?
I'm here, guys. What's going on?
What's up, JT? Seth, go ahead. Talk to your guy.
Well, I got to apologize to the boss. I was ready for him. He said, just go ahead. I was ready. You know, JT's been sitting listening to the whole show, and the last thing he wants to do is listen to me for 2 hours. So I'm sorry for keeping you on hold so long, boss, but I appreciate you hanging in there with us.
Nah, man, you told me this morning because I couldn't make it to the stadium because of some health things going on. I do the post-game show, do a little piece of the pre-game show. So you had me sitting here since 4:03, waiting for the phone to ring, and you left me hanging. But it's fine. It's going to reflect in your paycheck next Friday.
I'm sure it will. Oh, trust me. I'm dreading it.
Time is money, baby. I've been sitting here for 2 hours.
Guys, I know what his rate is, and I do not want to have to pay that.
So, Jason, let's talk a little bit about what happened in the first half defensively and what happened second half defensively. What did you see the change and the difference that took place in the Dolphins team?
Well, I really thought it was a couple factors. And you know, some people I heard talking about, you know, the Dolphins came out flat and they weren't ready to go and whatnot. Or defensively, they were a little conservative. But I think it was twofold. Number one, and it sounds crazy because he's so young, Javon Holland was out. And I think what Javon Holland brings to this team and does defensively for them in their pressure package, also in coverage-wise, and whether he's a single high safety or he's down in the box. I think he does so much already at such a young age. So, you know, they count on him, rely on him, and they trust him to carry those responsibilities. So him not being in there, I think, made a big difference. And then also, you know, no matter how bad a team may look and, you know, or how tough of a season they're having, it's still the New York Jets, you know, and it's a division foe. You know, they, you know, their fan base, I think more so than the players anymore, don't like the Dolphins. You know, there's this rivalry thing that's still sitting out there, and they want to come to Miami and play spoiler and beat the Dolphins. So they came out, and I give them a lot of credit. They came out with a lot of energy. They played hard. They played well. They made plays. You know, they put the Dolphins in some tough positions and created some turnovers. So I thought that was a thing early on. And then defensively in the second half, I thought the Dolphins got more in a rhythm, understood what the Jets were trying to do offensively, and pressured them a bit more. So, you know, as much as people don't want to hear it, I think you got to give the Jets a little credit for coming out and being ready to play, and Zach Wilson really handling the game well in the first half.
JT, to that point, you mentioned, you know, the Jets kind of pulled out all the tricks in this game, and it has to have something to do with the fact that they just wanted to ruin our playoff chances and go beat their rival. And not just that, but Juice mentioned this too, take the all-time series lead in the Dolphins and Jets rivalry. Now Miami has the 56-55 lead in that game. Do you think that kind of had something to do with the fact that Miami's pass rush didn't really get much going early? And then what did you see with the 5 sacks in that second half?
Well, I mean, I thought the rush was fine early on. They didn't necessarily get him down, you know, but remember, you're not playing Joe Flacco. They played Joe Flacco up in New York a few weeks ago or whatever. You know, Zach Wilson obviously moves around a lot more, can extend plays and get a little off schedule. But, you know, the Jets want to play spoiler. They, you know, there's a lot of things people could say, oh, they want to play spoiler. They want to win the series, you know, go ahead in the series lead or whatever it is. At the end of the day, guys, I'm a firm believer, and, you know, I think Juice will tell you, these are some of the most competitive people on the face of the earth. They don't want to go out there and get their asses kicked. They don't want to go out and be whatever their record is, 3-10 or whatever. I don't even know what they are. Like, they don't want that. You know, they want to win. And regardless of who's in or who's out, you know, they're missing Elijah Moore. They're missing a lot of guys on their team, and they're having a tough season. There's a lot of pride still in that locker room. They got a lot of good football players still, and they're going to do anything and everything they can every Sunday, or Monday, or Tuesday now, or Thursday, we're playing games all the time now. But anytime they tee it up, you know, these guys are ultimate competitors. They want to win. You know, I've been part of a 1-15 team,
yeah.
And damn it, every time we left that locker room, you know, for all 15 of those losses, I was trying to win and expected to win. Now, I knew we were, you know, kind of handcuffed a little bit in some ways, talent-wise and coaching-wise, but, you know, you're still competitive. So, you know, those things always have to go out the window. And whether you're the best team in the league, you know, whether you're the Chiefs or the Patriots or whoever you think is the best now, look, Arizona got their asses whooped today by Detroit.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
You know, there is a lot of pride and competitiveness in alpha males in NFL locker rooms, and you sleep if you want to, you don't get your butt embarrassed.
Yeah, I think Coach Flo said the best what you're talking about, JT, is like they've got a bunch of guys out there that are playing their butts off no matter what, but they also play mm-hmm. well for their head coach in Saleh. What do you think about – I mean, a lot of times yeah. you see guys that might shut it down on the coach. These guys don't do that, and they showed it the first half.
Yeah, and we saw – you know, we've seen – and heard and read in the last few days about a team shutting down on a head coach, you know, where a coach loses his team. And I heard, Juice, I heard you on, I think, with Channing earlier this week talking about, you know, you felt like there was a big part of that team in Jacksonville that kind of, you know, abandoned ship on Urban Meyer, and they were done with it. And then, you know, we see how that plan panned out, and, you know, Urban's, albeit still rich, but he's no longer working in Jacksonville. But, you know, I saw a group that played their butts off for Saleh, and, you know, he's a good football coach. They have some really good football players up there, and they need more pieces. You know, there's a lot of teams in this league that need pieces, and now it's on their GM and their coaching staff to get what they can out of this group and sort of regroup in the offseason and reload. But again, you're going to get everybody's best effort, whether you're the Miami Dolphins or the Detroit Lions or you're the New England Patriots. It doesn't matter. It just, you know, people always, you know, you always hear the cliches of, oh, any given Sunday, and people kind of laugh at it. And, oh, it was a great movie, and maybe that's a good cliche. But no, I'm telling you, in this league, there are a lot of alpha males with bad intentions on Sundays, and you better come ready to play.
Well, speaking of bad intentions and pass rush, JT, it's a topic that you and I like to discuss. I can remember for years, in the last 8 to 10 minutes, I would always jump in the elevator with Harvey and we'd go down to the sideline. And for games that we had a lead and we were protecting a lead or we were way up, that was prime time for you. You talked about, like, you couldn't wait to get back on the field, pin your ears back, and get after them. Did you see some of that today? And just talk about what that means to a pass rusher to just have those opportunities to know that every play you get to turn the corner and go.
And how many zero-yard sacks did you have in your career? Well, this is a big point of contention.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the zero-yard sack in a minute, for sure.
Sorry, go ahead, JT.
Well, I'll answer the first part first. You know, it's obviously, when you're playing with as a pass rusher, when you're playing with a lead, it's, you know, it depends on what the lead is. And today was a one-possession game still, so you can't be as reckless. You understand they're not going to run the ball with a certain amount of time on the clock, but we also need to keep them in bounds. So you're not playing as reckless as you could if you're playing for the, you know, the New England Patriots for 15 years. You're playing with, you know, the Peyton Manning Colts when they always had leads. You know, you just, Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis would just tee it up, you know, for 3/4 of the game. And yeah, I was jealous. I'm not gonna lie.
We can't tell.
Doesn't still bother.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
But no, it's so, you know, when you finally get that lead and you realize that running the ball is not going to beat you, yeah, that's the best time for you. But it's exhausting. It can be frustrating. You know, we saw Van Ginkle get a personal foul because, you know, you're two steps away and, like, dang, I did all the hard work and now he's going to throw it just in the nick of time and we're trying to slip a little hit in, and nowadays you can't even sneeze near a quarterback or they put a mask on him and call personal fouls. So it's just, you know, so you gotta understand that in those situations, you know, albeit frustrating, you just, you know, you have to know the situation in the game. But there's nothing like playing with a lead, boy. I'll tell you what, nothing like playing with a lead, especially a two possession lead, a 2-score lead with, you know, 8 minutes to go when you guys are getting in the in the elevator coming down from the press box. You guys get the, you guys missed the best part of the game. I don't understand why you do that, but whatever.
JT, we appreciate you calling in, man, and giving us some thoughts here. But first, are you going to be in New Orleans?
I will be there, yes.
Okay, real quick, what's the key to win that game for Miami to make it seven straight?
Oh, hell, I haven't started looking at them yet. But, I mean, it's the number one thing is to bring your A game in your lunch pail. And I understand that regardless of you know, what that team looks like on paper or what they may or may not have in the past, you know, they're going to, again, a bunch of ultimate competitors that are trying to win a game. And you have no room for error right now. And that's the biggest thing is the Dolphins have no margin for error, and they have to win every game. And I like the way they ran the ball today. If they can duplicate running the ball the way they did, and Duke Johnson had a great game and piling the football, if they can do that, it makes this offense so much better. And you see where a guy like, you know, Tua struggled a little bit today, didn't have his best game. But when you can run the ball and do it effectively, you can overcome those two interceptions and lack of productivity. You know, it's just, you know, you weren't great on third down, but defensively you held the Jets to, you know, I think 3 of 11 on third down. So defense travels and a run game always travels. That has to go to New Orleans.
That'll be a good recipe to get out of here and get a seventh straight victory. Hall of Famer Jason Taylor, we appreciate you, man, jumping on with us here. Looking forward to getting you back in the booth next week, JT. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
Take care, JT.
And there he goes. What a way to end the show this week, guys. The six-game winning streak capped off by JT. They're the Hall of Famer. And that's going to do it for us here on the fifth quarter post-game show. Thanks to our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Grieper and Matthew Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray, and our post-game engineer was Steph, the specialist. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, 31-24, Dolphins win. They're going to be back on the air next Monday night in New Orleans for Monday Night Football. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.